Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion check it up, along with the Tater and Tutty King himself, chasing the green jacket and the chalice of the Cape Cod Irish Open beginning tomorrow in said COD. It's Carver High, ladies. Mafia running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on a midweek Where Do You Hurt Wednesday. A double shot with Morenci this very hour. Then in the second hour, the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart, live from Toronto, Ontario. Of course, in the final hour, it's Stewie. Keith Stewart from Read the Line. And you know they're talking Zozo today on Coast to Coast. I will say this, Carver High. I believe that there has been a botchy jinx placed on the Dodgers. The Black Cloud Diner is hovering above Los Angeles. First, the passing of Fernando Mania. Fernando Valenzuela gone too soon. Born in 1960, a hero in 1981, he won everything. Rookie of the year, MVP of the World Series champion, took the baseball world by the throat like Skeens TV did this year in Pittsburgh. But his death has placed a pall over the organization. Earlier, Luke and I have decided that the Dodgers should forfeit the first two games of the series and go to the wake and funeral and spend time with their families reflecting on his meaning to the baseball and the organization, and then just show up at the Bronx for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's games 3, 4, and 5 and have the Yankees sweep the Dodgers in the World Series. A horrible loss for the whole baseball community, and an opening for the Yankees. I feel this will cost the Dodgers a world championship. And I mean it.
Well, happy Wednesday to you. Yeah, I kind of feel the opposite. You know that.
Win one for the Gipper.
This is like one of these. And look, Fernando Mania, the whole deal. If that Scully call with the no hitter. If you got a sombrero, throw it in the air. You know, all that stuff. It's outstanding, but I feel the other way. Like, this is now, not that anyone on the Dodgers, their players, etc., have some big connection to Fernando Valenzuela, but just the karma and all of that stuff that gets mixed up into it, the ghosts, as they say, like we do at Yankee Stadium all the time with Monument Park. I think it's the opposite side. I think the ghosts will favor the Dodgers with a situation like this.
I'm not having this.
I hope not.
For him, you're crazy. They have nothing but bad luck. Who drops dead the week of the World Series but one of the legendary Dodgers? It has to be It's a grand opening for the Yankees. You have to take advantage of this. They're distracted. The entire organization is thrown off its heels. They've got vertigo. Have to take advantage of them. This is an opportune time.
It will be Jack Flaherty against Gerrit Cole on Friday night in game number one.
Screw Jack Flaherty.
I'm stunned that Roberts didn't wait till Friday at 5 o'clock to say who was going to start. He actually gave it to you 2 days in advance, or 3 days in advance, which is very rare for him.
I hate Dave Roberts, and I always have.
So now we're getting closer to Friday, where your hatred for everything Dodger is now, it's just starting to rise more and more.
It's blooming.
It's starting to bloom a little bit. I actually have for you today, because I told you, I'm not going to leave you completely empty-handed here with some of my stuff. I have on today's rundown all of my World Series props, the series-long props we are going to divulge today here on Coast to Coast for all the stuff that we're going to play for the series. We will give that to you later on here today when we get to the Yankees and the Dodgers on Coast to Coast.
A quasi-cheat of integrity? Quasi?
You could call it that. You actually could call it the World Series prop sheet of integrity. We can actually go with that. That's a perfectly fine title for the information that we're going to give out later on here today. We have a lot of other things to do as well. Of course, the NBA started last night. If you were able to stay awake through the first game, you had the Lakers and the Timberwolves at night. You know, that's the tough part. You get a 40-point blowout the first game of the season. That's not the way to go. 29 threes for the Celtics. They smashed the Knicks. And, of course, the story in the second game. First, that the Lakers actually won, because they never win the first game of the year since LeBron's been there. But that big 3 minutes that you had with Bronny and LeBron out on the floor at the same time, that overshadowed everything that happened last night in the NBA.
Yeah, once again, I don't care at all about his son and his playing with his son. And I do stand by. I said he wouldn't score. He didn't score.
He didn't score.
He didn't score at all because he sucks.
Under a half was a winner. Under one and a half.
It's the phoniest thing I've ever seen in my life that that guy's playing in the NBA. It really is the phoniest thing I've ever seen. It'd be like me being on a roster tonight in the NBA at 59 years old. You might as well, because at least I score.
I actually saw
Pharrell's going to the tin tonight. Your boy Bronny's such a superstar. He can't score ever. He's worthless.
That doesn't even matter now. I saw the narrative get shifted this morning that this is about giving LeBron a spark. The spark that he's going to have having his son on the team at 39 years old. That is what really this is all about for the Lakers.
Re-energizing
LeBron is what this has done. So we will have all of that discussion. And now we have our first real night of rack, right? We got a good slate, full slate of NBA tonight that we are going to go through here today. And we'll talk about the two games from last night. So we have that. We have lots of football that we will get to. Had a big trade today. DeAndre Hopkins going to the Chiefs from the Tennessee Titans.
So you knew the Chiefs.
You knew that. Who isn't going to the Chiefs? Well, no longer Cup. Apparently they did talk to the Rams about Cup, but it was just too rich for their blood. So they leveled down to DeAndre Hopkins. And you know he's going to be awesome there. You just know it already. He's going to catch a bunch of touchdowns, big January touchdowns. It's all coming right in front of our faces.
Your boy, what do they call him, Nuke? What's
Nuke.
The deal?
Nuke.
How did he get that nickname? Honestly, I've always tried to figure it out. DeAndre,
that's from way back in the. That's from way back in the Houston days. He got the Nuke Hopkins thing. So that's he's carried. Hasn't played like that recently, but when you put on the Chief jersey and you have Patrick Mahomes throwing you the football, suddenly things are probably going to be a lot different for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, like there's nothing quite like having Will Levis throw ducks at you or
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who might start this week, I just saw again. Might get another Mason Rudolph game for the Tennessee Titans. We will go through all of the NFL. I got a lot of college for you today. I want to start looking at all these big games for Saturday that we have to discuss. And several other things. How about all the hockey last night? Everybody played. Islanders lost. Penguins lost. No good for any of us, but still. And yes, the golf. Have the golf. The Zozo in Japan. All the Golf Wednesday crew will be here.
I watched a lot of the hockey last night. I did.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 East, 7 West, along all of our outlets, TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, satellite radio, Sirius XM channel 159. More importantly, you can catch Gabe on a double shot here on Coast to Coast every afternoon from Vancouver. We were talking earlier. I want to see if you agree with Carver High. Carver High believes the passing of Fernando Valenzuela will help the Dodgers.
I don't know if it helps anybody in reality. What it does, if anything, it just sort of puts more pressure on the Los Angeles Dodgers, as if there wasn't already enough pressure. It's just another layer on top right now of an already very special World Series. And a World Series, like, this is different stuff. Like, you know, when you get the Dodgers and Yankees with these two fan bases and these two, the history of these two franchises, it's going to sting, like, to lose this one. It stings to lose any championship, but it, you know what I mean? It's different. All right, we lost to the Astros. You lost to the Reds. It's just sort of another team, right? It's just sort of another team. The Yankees and the Dodgers, both fan bases, will never let this one go. Like, so the stakes are already incredibly high when you have the Dodgers versus the Yankees. You have Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy stuff that's already lined up. And now one of the all-time Dodger greats unfortunately passes away. He hadn't been well for the last year or so. Of course, he was the Spanish analyst on radio. So it's not like Fernando Valenzuela, the story was just from like the 80s or something like that. Like, he's still a massive part of the community, right? So to lose him right now, it's more, you know what I mean? It's just another layer here, Scott, of pressure. And, you know, you got to do it for Fernando. The crowd is just going to be, you know, extra lit on Friday. It's crazy. I went to the game, too, right after Vin Scully died. And now I'm going to be there right after Fernando passed away. The first game, Fernando. I was at the second game after Vin passed away. But I saw Fernando Valenzuela live a few times, a bunch of times. And, in fact, I saw him as a rookie in 1981.
So did I. Yeah,
he pitched in Montreal in 81. He pitched in the playoff series against the Expos in 81. And then, of course, he won the World Series. And that's another little bit of symmetry here. The last time that the Yankees and Dodgers played in the World Series, Fernando Valenzuela was the reason the Dodgers won and won that World Series that year. And then by chance, when I lived in L.A., I used to go to a lot of Dodger games. Like, one year I went to 62 out of the 81 games. Another one of the years I went to, like, I don't know, like 30, 40 of them. You know, there was a year or two where I used to just go like every Friday night. That was my thing. I don't know why. I'm going to Dodger every Friday night. I go to the Dodger game, home Friday night games. And one of those home Friday night games, this was what, June 29th, I guess, 1991, turned out to be Fernando Valenzuela's only no-hitter. And what's crazy about it was Mexican Heritage Night, too. So imagine, it was already sort of, you know, the stadium was popping that night. Fernando was at the back end of his career, so it was always sort of special anytime he pitched. And he freaking threw a no-hitter against the St. Louis Cardinals, and I was there. And I was a Major League Baseball post-game show host, guys. Hell, I even did color for a game, Expos Mets. So I've been to thousands of games, like, as a fan, in the media, like, you know what I mean? Never saw a no-hitter live, Scott. The only no-hitter I ever saw live was Fernando Valenzuela, and I was a fan. And it was love this, too. Final little plot twist here. I was sitting in the same section I'm going to be sitting on Friday night, the right field bleachers. By chance, that night, I'll never forget it. I was in the right field bleachers the night Fernando threw a no-hitter, and I'll be in the right field bleachers on Friday night against the Yankees.
When the Yankees hit 7 home runs in the game off Jack Flaherty, it'll be unbelievable. And one of them will land in your Dodger Rita.
Well, I'm hoping, that's my thing. I'm hoping maybe I'll get a ball, actually. I will be. I'm definitely right in the middle of home run alley here, bro.
Home run alley.
I'm like 10 rows up in the right field bleachers. Like, I thought about that. I'm like, you know, there's a good chance a ball is going to come, like, right out.
Do you think he was the biggest thing that ever happened to the Dodgers? Like, I mean, you know, you think of all of the great
him and Jackie Robinson
through the years.
Yeah, Jackie
Robinson. Jackie Robinson. I mean, Drysdale. They have so many guys. Oral Hershiser that were enormous. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. How many great? They have more Hall of Famers than the Yankees.
Nobody is more popular than Fernando. Like, out of all the Dodgers. Like, out of all the Dodgers. Like, for modern Dodger fan, Fernando is sort of, you know, the guy.
Spanish people.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, to dig in a little bit deeper, but the Dodger Stadium is basically in East L.A. It's in downtown L.A. / East L.A. They displaced thousands of people when they built that stadium. Like, literally, like, police coming and you got to get out of your house because we're knocking it down. Like, they basically, the Dodgers, when they moved to L.A., they destroyed an entire Mexican neighborhood. They grazed their homes. They were not liked. The Dodgers, if you think the Dodgers, then you think, man, they got the biggest Hispanic and Latino fan base in the league, right? Yeah, because of Fernando Valenzuela. He was the first one. They were playing in East L.A., and, the Dodgers, look at the 30 for 30. Steve Garvey, cookie cutter white, you know what I mean? Dodgers were that, you know what I mean, like perfect hair, and the Yankees, you know, were in a Billy Martin getting drunk and fighting and stuff. And then this little, you know, portly fat kid shows up, bro. You know what I mean? And they're like, who the hell is this kid? And he's got this weird delivery and windup. Guys, to put in perspective, his first start in Major League Baseball, he threw a shutout complete game. You know, he threw 8 consecutive complete games. People go crazy. Oh, Paul Skeens. Oh, Paul Skeens is so amazing. Paul Skeens can't pitch more than 5 innings. Fernando Valenzuela pitched 8 consecutive games, bro. He won the world. He won the Cy Young and the Rookie of the Year. Think about that. Like, in the same damn year. And by the way, he won the World Series.
It was different. You have to admit, it was very different than...
Well, he was a screwball pitcher, too.
Nowadays, they won't let a guy throw into the sixth inning to save his ass. Because
the
wussification of baseball and analytics, guys pitch no more than 100 pitches, it's over, you're done. They don't let guys have no hitters in complete games. They'll yank a Skeens went into the eighth inning with a no hitter, and they still pulled him. It's
terrible.
Unbelievable.
That's why it hurts baseball, that stuff. We want to see this stuff happen.
McMahon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So today, Brian Cashman was saying that the Yankees don't have a 15-year drought in the World Series. He said that the Astros cheating cost the Yankees a World Series. Do you buy any of that?
No, I don't. He should shut up. Stop, dude. Stop playing. So what? So the Astros' fault for the last 15 years every year? Come on, man. The Dodgers lost to the Astros in the World Series. You don't hear us crying about it daily still. Like, we actually made it to the World Series and played them, right? I mean, that Cashman hang on the hook thing. Cashman's Mr. Excuse. So no, I don't buy into it, but that's what I was saying earlier, Scott, the Yankees haven't won in a long time. So the pressure is, you know what I mean? Is sky high for them to finish the job. And the Dodgers, even though they did win, people act like they did it, right? Just point blank. It's a lot like I've used the analogy, Scott, of Bill Self. You know, Bill Self won a championship many years ago, yet people always called him a choker and, oh, he doesn't win big games. And it's like, well, he did win a championship. And then when he won the championship again, when he won his second one, he even admitted, and he said, he goes, I needed this to shut people up. And he goes, you don't think I should think, you know, he goes, I lose sleep at night. I should have 4 or 5 championships with all the great teams that I've had. But he goes, it's not that easy, right? It's not that easy. So now I got 2. And the same thing with Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts, a World Series manager champion, doesn't get credit for it, right? Oh, Dave Roberts. The Dodgers need, and dude, this is their 4th World Series in the last 8 years. Like, they need to finish it off. So, like, there's immense pressure on both teams here and both organizations. Like, it can't get any bigger. It just can't get any bigger. And all you need to know, Ohtani's 50-50 ball, Scott, scored, sold for $4.3 million last night. What? So, I mean, that's what I thought. I was like, damn, maybe I get an Ohtani ball.
I'm so not you need to catch World Series a ball out yeah. there and sell it for $5 million. And then we'll do all kinds of creative things with our television and radio brains.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, so I know what it feels like. So it's not the same thing. I get it. But and Mafia knows it's true. He played in it with me. Like, it's a big, giant national league of, you know, there's hundreds of leagues and teams in this league. It's enormous. A lot of NBA guys retired playing it. A lot of tons of D1 players playing it. And we had a team that was so good. Four times we went undefeated and lost in the championship game. And there is nothing more painful than not finishing the deal when you're undefeated. We won every single game and then we lost in the championship. And then we did it four times undefeated and won the championship. So I know what it tastes like. And I don't remember the ones that I won. I remember the ones that I lost. You never forget those when you don't seal the deal. Now I want to ask you about how bad the college football is on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights on ESPN and whatever other networks carrying this garbage. Those games every single week are the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
And I love all this stuff, Scott. You know me. I bet on all college football. I know about every team in the country. It's unwatchable.
You're wasting your money and time betting on that crap.
It's unwatchable. The Conference USA, I mean, it's an embarrassment to your conference, all right? This is the problem right now, these conference. I mean, how the hell are some of these teams in a big-name conference like this? But they are. We've got to get back to MAC football. Like, seriously, the MAC midweek MAC games, that was our tradition. That was, and it's an entertaining conference. You know what I mean? The teams are evenly matched. They put points up on the board. There's always wild weather. And, like, the MAC just is it's a fun conference. It was just that perfect. It's a fun. It's a fun game. Check it out. This isn't fun. You're watching. Dude, last week, Middle Tennessee State and Kennesaw State, 14-5. There were two safeties. So there was 14-5. Like, dude, last night, La Tech and UTEP, 14-10. And not because it was some defensive classic, guys. Just terrible football. But with that being stated, the one good team, Liberty, are playing. Liberty have the longest active regular season win streak in the country. It's 17 right now. Right? They would have been in the playoffs last year, right? They played in the Fiesta Bowl. They got smoked
by
the Ducks.
They never cover.
No, but they haven't covered. They're 1-4 against the spread this year. And even this is a pretty big number against Kennesaw State on the road. But Kennesaw State are bad. Like you saw, Jacksonville State hung 63 on them. Look for Liberty to actually sort of flex their muscle tonight. I really like Liberty, Scott, minus 14 first half. Liberty have been really slow starters this year. Tonight they come out hot and they smoke them in the first half. Minus 14 first half.
Yeah, I'm glad I have another game tonight so I don't have to watch that or Middle Tennessee and Jacksonville State. Honestly, I'm not even kidding. I wouldn't watch either of these crappy games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we go back to the NBA from last night, Carver High.
Yeah, before we get to a very big slate tonight, our first big slate of the season, we do have to go over these two games. Lakers beat the Timberwolves 110-103 in the late night game. Really big night from Anthony Davis, Scotty. 36-16-4. Huge night. LeBron had 16. Reeves with 12. Of course, though, the thing that everybody was waiting for was him playing with his son, Bronny. That happened. And maybe they will keep him around if this is just going to be the dog and pony show they do. You know, kind of 15, 20-point lead, end of the first half, 3 minutes to go. We'll put them out there together and let them get some burn. Here's LeBron. Very emotional, Scotty. This is a moment he's never going to forget for the rest of his life.
The game within the game, obviously that moment, us being at the scores table together and checking in together, something I will never forget, no matter how old I get, no matter how my memory may fade as I get older or whatever, I will never forget that moment. And then also, you know, my daughter, his little sister, her turning 10, is like all the, you know, Everything was just great today for me. Everything was great. From the moment I woke up, I saw my daughter before she went to school, and went to work, saw my son at work, get to the game, and just everything, man, our whole family. It's a great moment for Laker Nation and the way we played tonight. Hopefully we continue to play that type of brand basketball all throughout the year, and then for our family, it was a big moment.
Well, I think it would be for anyone, so it's pretty obvious, right? And then they just dragged it out for us to suffer through for literally a year. We've had to put up with this for a year, and thank God it's over. Like, honestly, like, yes. They're not going to do this every night, are they? Are they going to do this
they
whole
better
cat and pony show every single night? Because he stinks. That's it. That's all there is to it. I don't want to hear it. I'm not listening to anybody tell me how great he is. He's no more an NBA player than I am.
I really think I think that's going to be the end of it. I really do. I think they're going to send him to the G League. I mean, maybe they'll keep him around for stuff like that, blowout games, and he'll get burned at the end. But he's not going to be any serious piece of what they're doing. And I think that's what kind of – it is a cool moment. Look, I think if you put anyone in their situation, in his situation, like, man, playing with your son in the NBA, it's got to be so cool. I think what just gets people is it's – I think people feel it's a little cheap because he shouldn't be in the NBA. And I think that's the thing that gets everybody kind of, annoyed about it, is that. I think it's a cool moment, but does he deserve to be there? I don't know. I'm not sure about it. It's kind of – that's tough part with it.
I think the key for me is what Davis did last night, and then, he had three blocks to go with the 36, 16, and four dimes. He's shooting threes. He's dominating. He's this, he's that, until we all know what happens. It's the same story every single year. Peanut Brittle's going down, and he'll be out for a month or two at a time, like he always is. This guy's on I like to refer to it as quarterly vacations. The guy needs to have a vacation every 3 months. He needs a week or two off, and he needs to go somewhere exotic, the Maldives, wherever, the Galapagos. I mean, somewhere. You got to make sure he's happy. So get him a quarterly vacation with his phony injuries. He never plays belly to belly. That's all I know. And it's no different with Kawhi Leonard. It's no different with Paul George. It's no different with Embiid. The funny thing is that LeBron James is the one that plays every night. The guy's almost 40 years old. He plays every night. The guy's in the league 22 years, and he still plays like he's 10 years ago. The guy is still the same player he was 10 years ago. People say, Father Time and all this. That guy still does whatever he wants on an NBA basketball court, and he can score and deal on anybody. He can go to the 10 and finish on anybody. He can shoot from anywhere and knock it down. He can run the floor. He can chase down guys going to the other glass and swat their shot into the seats. He plays every night. Now, who knows if he will at this age in this 22nd season, but we know one thing is certain. Davis doesn't. So all this talk about the Lakers are going to be great and because they won a basketball game, and ESPN does their show outside their arena every day and knobs them like a French porno. All I know is the same thing happens every year. It's all coming unraveled at some point. So I hope you enjoyed your big night last night with your family and friends, and you got JJ his first win. Now he's literally the greatest coach of all time. He's won a game. So, stop the press. The Lakers have won a basketball game. What will we do? And then it's the other side, it's Boston. It's always those two. It's always the Celtics and Lakers. That's all anybody cares about. That's what's
that
wrong
is.
With the league. It's, yesterday Gabe came on here saying the NBA sucks, basically is what he said. Nobody cares about the NBA. That's just not true. People love the NBA, but what they really love is the Celtics and Lakers.
I think you saw one small example of what bothers me about it sometimes is there's too many games that are supposed to be big games, right? That I get sold as big games.
It's every night.
Too many of them look like that Celtic-Knick game. And they are unwatchable in the second half, and they're blowouts. And there's no drama at the end of them. There's too many games like that. That's what bothers me about the product in the regular season.
80% of them are like that. 80% of the games in the NBA are just like that.
And even playoff games have become that. How many springs have we sat here, especially this year, and we're like, man, that game sucked last night. I mean, they won by 25. Like, what was, it's just, that's what hurts, I think, in terms of, forget about the teams or who they're talking about.
We played in a game the other night. My team, we won by 40. The guy blew the whistle with 2.5 minutes left. He said, we're done here. We're up 40. They stop the game. They should do that in the NBA.
Just stop the game. Because that was, I don't need to watch. I mean, the hacks that they had on the court for the last 9 minutes of that Knicks Celtic game last night, nobody needs to watch that. No, nobody does. It was embarrassing. It really was. Now, you sent me that story this morning. LeBron's expected to play at least 2 more years. Could even play a third. But that's because of what you said. He still plays most nights like he did 10 years ago. So why would you... It's like Brady. Brady didn't walk away until 44. Why would you walk away if you could still play at that high level and you could still do it? So I got no problem.
He goes
with that.
To work. You heard it right out of his mouth. He goes, I got up, saw my daughter, I went to work. And his work is probably 20 minutes down the road. And he goes from his billion-dollar mansion, gated community, and his 10-bedroom compound. And his 14 bathrooms and basketball court, golf course, swimming pool, aqua center, ice tub, full staff, full wait staff, full cook staff. He does that. And then he got his own masseur. Then he drives to work and he knows that he's just going to play ball. And most people that I know, like I play ball with a lot of NBA guys and they just show up. A guy showed up today, played in the NBA for 17, showed up for the last 30 minutes. And he said, just let me get in a couple of quick games. And he barely broke a sweat. I'm out there dying. I wanted to quit. I couldn't breathe. My legs hurt. And this guy was like, I just get in a couple of quick games, and I'm going to get in my $150,000 Mercedes Boxster and drive home and, I don't know, sit in a hot tub. Are you kidding me? That's what these guys – it's not – you act like this guy's got some kind of work he does. He goes and plays basketball. It's a joke. It's a joke for him. Do you know how good he is at playing basketball? That's all he has to do every day is play basketball. The worst part of his job is travel. That's it. Meanwhile, they travel like they're the king of England. They travel first class. They stay at the Four Seasons and the Ritz-Carlton. These guys, you understand, the worst guy on the team makes $50 million.
Amazing.
I mean, honestly, it's not even a job. It's like a movie. It's fake. It's all phony. It's like
it's nonsense.
They've been gifted this life of royalty. It's like being in the royal family.
You mentioned Reddick. When we come back, I got to play one from him. I've already – it's one night, and I've had enough of the other Reddick stuff with him. We'll come back talking about the basketball, and he's got just enough with J.J. Reddick.
He's right about the basketball, though. I'm telling you, he's right about the basketball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I want you to run with the Reddick thing, and he was complaining last night after they won.
He was complaining, and it was actually, it's more than that, too. Like, he comes out, and he's like, reading all these advanced stats and all these, like, you could just tell he all of the stuff that he did before he got the job with his podcast, he's like, it seems like he wants to, like, reinvent the wheel of coaching in the NBA. And maybe that will work, and God bless him if he does, but, man, it's going to be painful listening to him as he tries to do it. Here he is also talking about the basketballs that they use. I don't know if he had this take when he was playing in the league, but now that he's a head coach, here's what he thought about the basketballs.
I'm going to send in a request for the league tomorrow that we can play with worn-in basketballs. I'm not sure why we're playing in real games. I'm being dead serious. I'm not sure why we're playing in real games with brand-new basketballs. Anybody who's ever touched an NBA ball brand new, it's a different feel and touch than a worn-in basketball. I didn't realize it till a timeout. There was a long rebound. I grabbed it. I was like, what? Why are we playing with this ball?
He's right.
Give the guys the opportunity to pick a good basketball. You think I'm joking?
No, I'm positive.
I'm neurotic.
I'm positive you're not joking.
Listen, it's true. Listen, I'm telling you. I play basketball every day of my life, and there's nothing worse than a new basketball. You have to break them in. We never play with a new ball. They're slippery. They're not the same tack feel as a ball that's been played with and worn in. We always play with balls that are worn in until they're shot, and then we break in a new ball. And before you break in a brand new ball, you always play with the next guy's worn in ball. So guys show up, four or five balls show up for the run, right? There's 15 guys, there's about five balls. We play with mine every day because it's perfectly worn in. And then when mine is shot, they're going to go to the next guy's that's worn in. They never play with a brand new Evolution or NBA ball ever, any run, anywhere, because they suck. I mean, they're slippery. There's no tack to them. You can't grab them. I can palm a basketball and walk through an airport with a basketball palm. A brand new NBA ball, you can't do it.
I don't dispute that you would know more than this, and J.J. Redick would know more than this. The NFL guys say it too, right? Don't they let the quarterbacks, you know, mess with the footballs and wear them in before with a Brady Deflategate, et cetera?
Right.
But, like, did they just start doing this? Like, J.J. Redick hasn't been living under a rock for the last 5-10 years. Like, he played in the league. He's been around the league as a broadcaster. Didn't he know before last night that there's brand new balls that are in play? It seemed like it was like new to him, like it was a brand new thing. That's the part that I can't figure out. Yeah. Like, what is he talking about?
Same thing I told you about shoes. I can't wear brand new shoes to play. They wear a brand new pair of shoes every night when they play, brand new every night. They all have shoe deals. They wear new shoes every night, and they'll give the other ones away, you know, or whatever. That's what they do. They sign them and give them away. But, like, if I wear brand new shoes, I always break them in training. Like, if I go to shoot for an hour, I'll wear new shoes and try to break them in. If I wore new shoes tonight in my game, I would end up with bleeding toes and giant blisters. I have knuckle toes, so I wear only shoes I played in. I wear worn shoes only. It's no different than basketballs. New basketballs, new shoes suck. New shoes are awesome when you pull them out to finally play in them. And people are like, you got new kicks? Yeah, it's cool. I collect basketball shoes, right? So I know, I'm telling you, both of them, balls, shoes, same thing. I don't jive with anyone that wears brand new shoes every single time they play. That's nothing but trouble to me. New shoes to me are automatic, bloody knuckles, automatic.
Can't have it, that's for sure. In the first game last night, the Celtics raised the banner at the Garden, 132-109
I hate them.
Over the Knicks. The Celtics hit 29 three-pointers in the game. That tied an NBA record. 8 from Tatum, 6 from White, 5 from Brown, 4 from Holiday, 2 from Hauser, 1 from Pritchard, and 3, the final one, too, the 29th from Al Horford on TV.
Tillman inside, Pritchard and out to Horford. That's a 3, and that ties the record. That's number 29. It ties the all-time NBA record for three-point shots made in the game.
Yeah, I don't think that record will last because we had the Warriors had 28 in a preseason game. So, I mean, there are certain teams that shoot bombs a lot, and some night they're going to go well over 30. Well over.
And what did they had like what? I think it was 12 or 13 cracks at breaking it. Like, they just kept the guys that were in at the end of the game just kept heaving them up. All those guys that were on the bench.
Serena Inescu the other night when she was 1 for 19. They got to get her shooting more.
Like, Pritchard and Hauser were just, it was bombs away trying to get that 30th three-pointer, and they just couldn't get it over the last couple of minutes. 13 straight to finish it off. I think that Josh Hart summed up the feeling in the Knick locker room after the game was over. Let's hear from him.
I don't know. NBA needs a drug test all of them, I'll tell you that. Because that was, I ain't never seen nothing like that before, man. So, I mean, like I said, you got to give them credit, man. They're already an explosive team. And obviously there was energy in the arena today with that, was contagious.
That was easy money last night, if you ask me. They don't lose at home, and they cover. And they are the best team in the NBA, hands down. Hands down, they're the best team in the NBA, and there's nothing I hate worse. Honestly, I can't even – I'm telling you, I can't – and they're on national television every night. And I can't stand them. So, like, for me, I don't want to watch Celtic games. I am not watching Celtic games. So you can have it all you want, and you guys sit back and enjoy it, because I don't sit around watching some team I loathe. All it does is make me mad. I hate them. No one ever beats them. So they're cyclical too, right? This is their time. They're back on top of the league. And when they're not on top of the league, I don't like watching them ever, when they're good or bad. I don't even, you know, I just can't stand them. So it hurts me because I like basketball, and it hurts me because, you know, like the Knicks, who I love, have to play them. And then I already know what happens when they play them, right? So first of all, that was a real good outlier for what the reality is of how far the Knicks are from playing for a championship. They could beat the Celtics to save it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll do it after the film. All right, so Carver High, one of my favorite guys to make fun of is Rudy Gobert, the hack-ass player that he is. Boy, they just keep giving this guy bags of money.
They certainly do. the Timberwolves might have lost last night, but Rudy Gobert, he's a winner once again. He keeps going to the bank, to the teller, that's for sure. 3 years, $110 million extension for Rudy Gobert. So they send Cat out, give Rudy all the money. It is surprising to me because, quite frankly, I get it. Defensive play. He wins all these Defensive Player of the Year awards. Shouldn't have won last year, as we talk about all the time here. But other than that, what else is he? I don't even think he's that, you know, he doesn't give you as many boards as he used to. He doesn't give you, I don't know. I don't think the game is as good as it once was.
He's a double-double every night. He's 7 foot. So he's like, I think he was 13-14 last night. So he'll give you a double-double. It's not that hard. Like, so I play with this guy that's a 7-footer, right? And this guy, he played at pace, and he literally is unstoppable. He just does whatever he wants. He gets the ball, and he just goes right to work, and he dunks on people's faces. And then the rest of the time, he hits little mini hooks and little fadeaway. He can shoot threes. He can do it all, 7 foot tall. When you're 7 foot tall, you do whatever you want. When some guy's 6 foot six or 6'4", like I am, or Mafia, 6'5", you're not stopping a 7-footer. You just aren't. So the reason the guy got all that money is because he's bigger than 7 foot. For all I know, I think he's bigger than 7 foot. And it's not that hard to get a double-double when you're that big. It's not that hard to block shots when you're 7 foot two. I mean, honestly, like, let's get real here. You think Wembanyama really has a hard time dealing when he's literally like 10 foot tall? He does whatever he wants. Why do you think Joker's so good? Not only is he 7 foot, he's also 300 pounds. He's a bull in a china shop. You can't stop him. He cuts right through people like butter.
He certainly does. Of course, we're going to get to tonight's games when we come back. Philadelphia will open tonight with the Bucks at home. This is yesterday at Sixers practice. Nick Nurse, the head coach, talks to the media. So there's no Joel Embiid tonight. The media starts pressing him, like, is there a new injury? Is there something he aggravated in the Olympics? Is there something? Is this just precautionary? What? Why isn't he playing? Like, what is going on here? And let's just say, Nick, eventually, this was after several questions, really didn't want to hear them anymore.
It's not like the regular season opener snuck up on you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to you. Right? He's in practice. He's looking good. He's progressing. He's not quite ready yet. He'll be ready pretty soon. I don't know what else to say to you.
I don't know what else to say to you.
Here's the deal, Mike. He's got this gigantic knee brace on, and here's the long and short of it. In the end, they gave him $200 million additional, right? He's got more money than God. By the time he's done playing, he'll made $1 billion. But I truly believe he will never last in the NBA because he's got bad knees. So all I need to know is when a guy has bad knees and he's a 7 foot, 300 pounder, this is no different than what I just talked about. When you're 7 foot two, whatever, 300 pounds, you're impossible to stop until you start having bad knees. And when you are fat and huge and you have bad knees, it's even worse. It's compounded by your size. And I am telling you, that guy, first of all, he can't run to begin with. He is a walker. He walks up the court. And then, you know, he stands at the three and jacks shots. And when he's in a low block, he's impossible to stop because of his size. But when you have bad knees, it is always 100% the beginning of the end. I do not believe he'll live through that contract. I believe his knees will be the end of him. And it'll be the end of Kawhi Leonard.
I don't disagree with you about his knees. It's just I think what the guy was asking, Nick, is right. Like, this didn't sneak up on you. You've known for months that this is opening night, tonight. Like, if you're telling us that he's got no new injury or he's got this, why did you know a week ago he wasn't going to play tonight? Like, what is it? Like, I could get if you woke up today and say, man, my knees are barking today. You know, it ain't going to happen. What's going on? I can understand them being, and it's Philly media too.
Why tell the media that guys are injured. It's always a hidden fact. No one
it's
ever
nonsense.
In the NFL, baseball. Look at what we're doing here. You know, with baseball, the guy will never announce who's pitching. Just the dumbest stuff. I don't care anymore who's starting. I know this. When I find out, guess what happens? Your bets go down the toilet.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.